All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. Hey, I'll give you a quick heads up. We switched our recording days to Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Today's the first day. We haven't really talked about that a lot, so questions and comments are like non-existent right now, and the text message went out really late. So I will tell you, this is your best opportunity to get in with a question, a comment, a topic, anything at all you want to talk about. If you press one on your phone right now, I guarantee we'll get to you. In fact, it looks like we might have to wait a couple minutes. I don't have much of an open today. We really don't have any questions coming in yet, so we're going to wait. Well, maybe we'll go ahead and get started. But it looks like if it stays this light, we may only be doing 1 hour today. But again, if you want to get in with the question, now is your opportunity. Anything at all you want to talk about, press one on your phone. I guarantee we'll get to you. We're going to go ahead and get started. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond,
the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and we answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, getting your own authority, building a fleet. The list goes on and on. In fact, if you've got a question about anything at all, pick up the phone and give me a call, and I'll do my best to get you an answer. We're going to get to those calls in a little bit. Couple reminders, couple things I want to talk about. One, it is the fourth quarter. It's official. You need to get your accounting taken care of. This is tax time right now. If you own a business, this is tax time. Not January, certainly not next April. If you own a business, the fourth quarter is the time to make sure you are completely caught up with your bookkeeping. There are a lot of reasons for this. You know, if we just look at taxes alone, in fact, most people only do their accounting because they have to do a tax return. If you're in that group, if we just look at that alone, getting your bookkeeping in order will save you hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in tax, because your tax situation, the things that affect your taxes for the year 2015 start on January 1st. Those are receipts, bills, everything that has to do with your business. And if you wait until next February, March, April, to try to get it all together and run down to your accountant, I promise you, you are missing all kinds of stuff. Stuff gets forgotten, it gets lost, and you end up paying too much tax because of it. So if you have a system that gets things in order every month, the little bit you're going to pay to get that accounting done, you will save far more than that in taxes by having things taken care of when they happen so they don't get lost or forgotten. So if for no other reason, if you're not going to look at your numbers to help you run the business, do it just for your taxes. Now, if you haven't been doing that all year long, the longer you wait, the more likely it is you're going to lose and forget stuff. So get it taken care of now. Make the fourth quarter your time. We have all kinds of ways to help you go back to January, get it all caught up, and get you on a regular schedule every month, and then we can take care of your taxes as well. We are launching our full-service bookkeeping and tax service, which means no matter what situation you're in, we can help you. I'm not going to go through all the different programs that we have, But I can tell you, if you are a driver, an owner-operator, a fleet owner, doesn't matter what situation you're in, doesn't matter if you're current or you're 5 years behind on your taxes, we can take care of it. We'll help you get it caught up, and then we'll get you on a schedule, whether you want to do the bookkeeping or you want us to do it. We have the program now where you send everything to us, we do it all. Or you can do it, and we'll be there to help you and do your taxes. It's critically important, though, that you get this taken care of now. It is the single most important thing you could do to help your business, is get your numbers taken care of, and we have the way to do it. All you have to do is call us, 855-800-FUEL. Now, the second most important thing you could do for your business is attend the CMC, which is also registration for that is also open. So you need to get on that as well. Get registered. Now, it's not till next May, but now is the time to get registered. We have a very, very simple payment plan where you pay about $100 to get registered, and you have a year to pay for it. And it's a straightforward, simple interest. We don't charge a lot. And the other thing, we don't do any kind of a credit check. Everybody qualifies for the payment plan. We don't check your credit score. We don't ask you any questions. We just sign you up, put you on a payment plan, charge you once a month, and that's it. Nice and simple. So get registered. This is an amazing event. We have something for everybody this year, whether you're brand new in the industry and just want to learn more about trucking, or you've got your own authority and 10 trucks. We have small fleets that come to the event all the time. So again, same phone number, 855-800-FUEL. You know, I like to start off my day with something positive. I get the question all the time, Kevin, how do you stay positive? How do you stay focused on what you should be doing? And one of the ways that I do that is surround myself with positive material all day long that makes me think. It's one of the reasons I read so much, because reading helps me learn, first of all, and it helps me stay focused on what's important. One of the things we're going to be doing here very soon, in fact, it may already be done by the time you get this, is I am putting together a reading list. Now, it's not complete. I really wish I had a complete reading list, but I have books all over the place. I buy hardbacks, paperbacks, Kindles, audios, you name it. So I have books everywhere, but I realized I could go back into my Kindle account and pull out all of the Kindle books I've ever bought, and I put that into a list. If you are interested in the diet book, almost every book on health that I've read is in Kindle format. So most of the health, nutrition, fitness books are in there. There are some that I have in hardback, but most of them are in there. So we are going to be publishing that list up on Facebook in the Destination Health page. So you can go check that out. And I'll figure out a couple other ways we can get that out to you. But I get a lot of questions about what books I read. But I always keep books handy. I usually, sitting at my desk, I could usually reach out and grab 4 or 5 different books. And throughout the day, I'll do that. I'll just grab a book. I have books of quotes. I have books of daily reflections. The two that I've been working my way through now, one of them is from the 7 Habits book, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of my favorite books of all time. And there's a book that goes along with it called Daily Reflections for Highly Effective People. So what it is, just one page a day. You open it up, it's a sentence, a short paragraph, and it's a lesson from the book. It's just a great way either to start your day or whenever I get frustrated throughout the day to grab it and remember the things I should be focusing on I always have one. I also have one from Larry Winget called The Gospel of Larry. And it's the same thing. It's just short quotes and ideas. Now, the thing you have to realize about Larry Winget is sometimes he can be kind of in your face. So it's not always a positive message from Larry, but it's something you need to be thinking about. Like this one. I kind of like this one. This is a quote from Larry from the book. It says, "Never stupidly say, it can't get any worse than this. The one thing it can always get is worse." We do say that, though. Sometimes we're in a really bad situation. We say, well, it can't get any worse than this. Yes, it can. Those are the kind of quotes Larry has. They're not always uplifting and motivational. They're very real life, something to think about, though. Here's another one I like from Larry. "A guaranteed way to avoid criticism, say nothing, be nothing, do nothing." It's surprising how many people live their life like that because they are afraid of criticism. I used to be. I had to get over that. In fact, I'm really, really over it now. I get criticized everywhere from every direction, all over the place. I see it all the time on Facebook, online, on forums. That's okay. I'm out doing what I believe in and what I think is right. So the criticism just doesn't bother me anymore. So one of the things you could do is get over the criticism, because the only way to avoid it really is to say nothing, be nothing, and do nothing. What's the point of living? Get over the criticism. In fact, the more I get criticized, the more I know I'm probably doing the right thing. All right, so we're going to get to some phone calls right after this break. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, give us just a minute here. Obviously, something went wrong with our text message today. I'm not sure what. We have almost no calls, but I'm assuming somebody got a text message, or I'm not sure how any of you would know to be here. But very, very few. So I will tell you right now, we're probably only going to record an hour, and we may not even have enough questions for that. But if you've got a question, a comment, anything you want to talk about, press 1 now. Promise we'll get to you. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. You know, one more thing on surrounding yourself with good, positive material. You know, there is a lot of negativity in the world. There's a lot of negativity in the trucking industry. I think one of the downsides to the job, and I always thought it was an upside, I loved my time alone in the truck to think. I really loved to listen to audiobooks. That's kind of what I'm talking about now. But I think for some people, spending that much time alone and thinking can lead towards very negative thinking sometimes. And then you get around more people who are thinking negatively at the truck stops and everywhere else. And it's just, it builds on itself. And you've got to fight against that. And the best way I know of to do that is to stay focused on good material. That's why I try to keep my show positive. It's one of the reasons I don't like to spend a lot of time on industry issues, hours of service, regulation, all that stuff. I bring them up once in a while. We don't do a lot of complaining about other drivers. It just really doesn't do much good. So we really try to stay focused on positive stuff here on the show. I hope that's why you listen. But there's so many good opportunities. Audiobooks are absolutely amazing, and just about everything is available on audio these days. So if you don't have an Audible account, audible.com, you really need to go get one, and you need to start listening more. Really is a great way to make your day go faster and stay focused on more positive stuff. All right, we're going to get to some phone calls. Here we go. We're off to Pennsylvania. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call today, Kevin.
What's on your mind?
I have a couple of questions about health. The first one is about ketones. I know that there's a lot of misconception on what ketones are and ketoacidosis is, and I was wondering if you could just expand a little bit on why there is so much confusion.
Yes, actually I can. One of the biggest reasons there's so much confusion, I believe, is that the idea and the concept of ketones is really pretty new when it comes to a normal diet. Ketones have always primarily been associated with ketoacidosis. And doctors, that's really all they are taught about ketones. If you look at what doctors learn in medical school, the only thing they learn about ketones is that when you see them in the blood, if you see them in a blood test, the reason they're taught is because of ketoacidosis, which is a very dangerous, life-threatening condition. And it's unfortunate that the two have been linked together. There's enough talk now about a true ketogenic diet that this will change over time, but it's going to take a long time. So we measure ketones in the blood to know whether or not our body has switched from burning sugar to burning fat. Now, I would venture to say, and this isn't anything scientific, it's just my opinion, I would venture to say that 99% of the people in this country are sugar burners. I mean, you just have to look at our diet and look at the statistics. The average person in the U.S. is getting 60% of their calories from carbohydrates. I mean, that's insane. That is a crazy high number, but for us, it's normal. My whole life, I can look back and tell you, my whole life, I burned sugar as a primary energy source. I know I did, because I had a high sugar, high carbohydrate diet. And honestly, I think mine was way, way lower than normal. I've never really had a sweet tooth. I don't like a lot of sweet stuff, but I do like bread and pasta and starch, and all those are just sugar. So if we look at most people, we have burned sugar as our primary energy source our entire life. So doctors never see this. Nobody really talks about it. Now, I will say that the ketogenic diet is not new. We knew about it in the 1800s. There's probably one of the most famous and one of the first documented cases of a very, very low carbohydrate diet was a guy named William Bantick. And he was overweight. He fought with all the, you know, diets and diseases. And back then, being obese was kind of rare. It was fairly a new phenomenon because we were really just starting to eat a lot of sugar and starch. And really, it was rich people because poor people couldn't afford sugar. It was very expensive back then. So I forget, there was another doctor that he went to that recommended that and they didn't call it ketogenic. They didn't call it low carb. The doctor just told him, look, you need to cut out all the bread, all the pasta, all the flour, all the beer, all those things. And he lost amazing amounts of weight. All of his diseases went away. He felt amazing. And he wrote a book. Actually, it was like a pamphlet. But the pamphlet became so popular that there was actually a term people would say, are you banting? Or to be
really?
On the bant. Yeah. Go look that up. It's a pretty interesting story. The phrase was on the bant. And if you were on the bant, it meant you were doing this diet that they didn't really have a name like low carbohydrate, but it just listed the foods that you should eat and shouldn't eat. And the foods that you should eat were meat, fish, eggs, poultry, cream, you know, all the things we still talk about today. So it's not a new thing. And it was very, very popular for a long time, and it worked. Then what they found out in the early 1900s is that children with epilepsy, horrible seizures, the children sometimes having hundreds of seizures a day, that would eventually kill them. They wouldn't develop, they couldn't eat, they couldn't do much of anything because of these nonstop seizures. And they found out that a ketogenic diet cured most of them. Not all of them, but literally sometimes within days, these kids would go from hundreds of seizures to none. And it would change, it literally save their life. That was a very, very common diet for children back then. But we developed drugs to stop seizures. And doctors started prescribing the drugs instead of the diet. And the diet went
because
away.
Taking a pill
now,
is so much easier than to actually follow a lifestyle
exactly.
or a diet.
Yep. If we have a pill, oh, look how easy. We give you this pill, it stops your seizures. It probably creates 10 other problems.
But we
got
pills for
those.
Go back
to a less healthy lifestyle. Exactly. And that's really the story here, how the pharmaceutical industry has taken over treatment. Why work hard at eating right and living right when all you have to do is pop a pill? But we see where that gets us. I mean, it's, you know, horrible today. That's a whole nother show if I went through that. But, you know, sticking to the ketogenic diet, it has been around. It's been used very effectively for a lot of things. There was also a story recently, and it was a within the last 20 years probably, and I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name. He was a Hollywood producer or screenwriter. He had something to do with movies, and he had two or three big hits. And his son suffered these seizures. And he suffered these seizures so bad that none of the drugs would work. Or they would put him on a seizure medication, and it would work for a while, and then they would come back, and they'd have to up the dose, and then they'd have to give him another drug. And the drugs were just about killing him. And he finally, because he had a lot of money and resources, he finally found, I think it was in Baltimore somewhere, a hospital that still used the ketogenic diet for children with epilepsy. And they took their son there, and it was literally a miracle. They saved his life within days. The seizures went away on this diet, and he was off all of his medication. Now, he actually did a movie. I think the title of the movie is either Do No Harm or First Do No Harm. It might have been with Meryl Streep. You could probably look it up with enough of those keywords. You can probably find it. But it's an interesting movie, kind of a real-life, you know, documentary about how this saved his son's life. And now they have a whole foundation set up, but it's pretty amazing. Even after all that, most parents with kids who have epilepsy have never even heard about this, and don't even realize it's an option. There's the music. Let me get to a break. We'll come back. There really is a lot to talk about in this diet, but a ton of documentation to show how effective and safe it really is. We'll talk about it more when we get back. Stick around. Kevin Rothenberg. ¶¶ Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford, talking with John in Pennsylvania about ketosis. So, John, there's a ton of history about this, but it is still not very well known in the medical community, and doctors confuse it with ketoacidosis so much that you can go in totally healthy, and if you have a blood test done and the doctor sees ketones in your blood, they freak out. They
right,
think
right.
Two things. One, you're either starving or you are in ketoacidosis. But, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not a doctor. I haven't been to medical school. But it's pretty clear that the only people who could suffer from ketoacidosis are type 1 diabetics who can't produce any insulin themselves, or insulin-dependent type 2 diabetics who have screwed up their insulin intake. If there is even a tiny little bit of insulin in your body, you cannot be in ketoacidosis. In order to be life-threatening, your blood sugar has to be off the charts because there's no insulin to control it, and you have to have high ketone bodies, meaning
right
up in the 7, 8, 10 millimolar range, where when we look at nutritional ketosis, we should probably start using that word. Nutritional ketosis is what we're after. We are looking at ranges of like 1 to 3, maybe 1 to 3.5. And to try to get
okay.
your ketones up higher than that is virtually impossible. You just can't do it because your body will be using them for energy and you just can't get them any higher than that. So it'll be an educational process. There's more and more really good medical literature about this.
I want to make sure that I'm clear what I'm hearing from you, kind of wrap it up in a nutshell, is that it doesn't matter how many ketones that you're producing. We could take the numbers and throw them out the window as long as blood sugar is under control.
Yep. Yeah, in order to be in ketoacidosis, your blood sugar has to be crazy high.
So if a doctor freaks out when he sees ketones, the first thing you have to ask him is, hey, where's the blood sugar? If it's
right.
under control, then we don't have an issue here, do we?
Because what I'm afraid of is
hearing people going in for their physicals with their local physician and them not understanding this, and then having issues with medical cards. That's something that kind of rolls across my head. Unless your physician truly understands this, and obviously not many of them do, us as drivers need to get educated on how to educate our physicians and point things
exactly.
out so that we can kind of talk them off the ledge a little bit.
Yeah, exactly, and that's one of the things that we've got to get better at. We have been kind of brainwashed our whole life that you just listen to what the doctor says. They're right. They
mm-hmm.
know. Don't question the doctor. And many, many people are afraid to question their doctor at all. Not only should we be questioning the doctor, but if we've done enough research and we know what we're talking about, we should be telling them what we want from them. We should be telling
right.
them, look, I've studied this. I want you to study it and tell me what's wrong with being in ketosis. I mean, we should be challenging them to learn this stuff so that they can take better care of us. Actually, I will tell you, with all the reading I've done, I will do everything I possibly can to stay away from the medical community completely. I am not going to a doctor or a hospital, a traditional doctor or a hospital, unless I am desperately in need of medical care, because we go far too often.
I hear you.
They overprescribe antibiotics. They overprescribe, acid, everything. They overprescribe. They overtreat. And part of it is we keep going back. So that's another story, but that's a topic I'm going to be bringing up soon. I'm going to get to some more phone calls. Let's go to Fargo. Jeff, welcome to the program.
I missed your show on Saturday. The when you have the TST guys on, and I have that system, and I was just kind of try to get some of the key points that they talked about that day, if you could.
Oh, sure. So, you know, we had a call a week ago. We had a couple calls about people where the sensors themselves, the outside casing, was failing. They were coming, the casing was coming apart, or the ring that held them together was coming off. So TST was listening that day, and they immediately reached out to us and said, here's the issue, here's why it happened, here's what we've done to fix it. So we brought them on this past weekend to talk about it. What happened was they were noticing that these last couple of severe winters, that more and more states were using a much stronger salt brine and a lot more chemicals on the road, and the chemicals were attacking the inside of the sensors. So they decided to be proactive, and they started developing a clear coat process that they would coat the sensors in this clear coat and to keep out more of the salt. So they were looking to improve the product. And what happened was the clear coat that they were using wasn't compatible with the glue that was being used to hold them together. The two were kind of fighting each other. And as soon as they realized that, they went back and they redid the clear coat, redid the glue, and they've solved the problem. So it was a matter of they were trying to improve the product. There were some unintended consequences. They identified it, fixed it, and they are offering, you know, full replacement of any sensor that you've got that has that problem.
Well, that's good to know. I haven't had any issues yet, but I do drive in the winter up here in the great, wonderful north, and it may be a problem in the future, I guess. So that's
yeah,
what I was looking
so
for.
So if you have any issues, keep an eye on your sensors. If you notice any of the adhesive, you know, coming apart or the rings coming off or any of those things, call them up. They have a full stock of the new sensors with the new adhesive and the new clear coat, and they are ready to replace any that cause a problem. And you may have some older sensors before they went to the new clear coat that'll be just fine. So keep an eye on them, and if you have any problems, give them a call. Let's go to Illinois. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind today?
I got a little rant. My truck got hit by another driver.
Oh, no. I hate that.
Yeah. It was a lease purchase guy. Hit my mirror. Damn near took it off my truck. It's his third accident in a month. Yeah. It just, the way it happened is he pulled off a dock and his trailer door hit my truck. It's his third accident, had no money. They put him in a truck without even giving him a driving test, a brand-new truck, 2016. And I just can't believe they put people in trucks like this and have them go drive around and tear everything up.
Well, I can't believe it either. But there's two practices that are pretty rampant in this industry that kind of drive me nuts. You know, I remember back to my first year of driving, and I had some advantages. One advantage was I kind of grew up around the industry. I was third generation, and I was pretty comfortable around trucks and those kind of things. So it wasn't a huge change for me. And I had another advantage that I had grown up operating machinery my whole life. I mean, I started racing mini bikes when I was like 6 years old. And I was rebuilding carburetors on them by the time I was 8 and 9. And I had motorcycles, snowmobiles, you know, four-wheelers, all kinds of things. So I was comfortable around equipment. I started driving early. You know, I drove a lot. So I had some advantages. But that first year was still difficult. I mean, it was kind of stressful the first year. You get in new situations. And so we know that first year is a challenge. Yet now it is a common practice to take somebody right out of driving school and put them in a lease purchase truck, which just adds to the stress and the complication. I think that is a horrible mistake. The other thing we do is within almost no time we make them trainers. My God, how insane is that? Talk about the blind leading the blind. So yeah. It's no wonder we have this kind of stuff. So the music's playing. Let me get to a break. I think you've got something more, so I'll come back to that right after this. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. I'm going to get right back to the phone call. So, Aaron, I couldn't agree more, and I'm so sorry that happened to you. What a pain that is.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just a mirror cover, but we'll get over it, I guess. We'll get a new mirror cover. My other comment was yesterday's show, they were talking about the new trucks need to have better fuel mileage. What was the percentage on that fuel mileage?
Oh, I don't even know the numbers yet. Maybe it was like 24%. It was some stupid number that didn't even make any sense. And the real problem is I don't even know how they measure this or what they base it on. It's just another lousy government program that's going to screw up the industry.
Well, aren't we doing that by all the fuel mileage improvements we do ourselves?
Absolutely.
Shouldn't they just listen to the show?
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, I never got to that, but that's an excellent point that the average truck on the road still gets about 6 miles to the gallon, and the average listener to this show, or the average profit pages user anyway, is well above that. I mean, we're way above that, and we didn't need a government program. We didn't need to spend a bunch of money. And here's the other thing. Some people say, well, Kevin, if this works, it'll be a really good thing. Well, yes and no. First of all, it's not going to work. But if it did work, I think it kind of sucks, because part of the advantage you create in trucking is doing the hard work and getting better fuel economy. I don't want the government spending all their money helping everybody else do that. I really don't. Business is about competition. This whole idea that we're going to level the playing field. Like I said, first of all, it's not going to work. And if it did, I don't think that would be such a great thing anyway. Let's go to Georgia. Keith, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
Good. What can I help you with?
There? Oh, yeah. A few things, I guess. I have a small fleet. I've got about 3 trucks, and I've been struggling. I really have. I had one of my trucks that was leased onto an individual out in Virginia, a company called F&D Transportation, a guy named Scott. And what he did was he ran my truck. I knew him from CR England when my trucks were leased over there. And he got my truck in July of 2013, ran it through the end of August of 2014, and then come back with the idea that, you know, he owed me some money, he fell behind, there were some brokers that owed him, song and dance, back and forth. Then he handed me, at some point, he owed me $8,100 right at, and then he came out with a list of repairs for the truck that he came up with from his shop. I asked him about the repairs, he said, well, the driver that he hired, okay, it's supposed to be my driver, I'm supposed to be paying for him, but he's been paying for him because he wasn't getting the money to me in time to pay him.
Right.
So Then he tells me the driver peeled the bumper back. I said, well, why didn't you turn that into an insurance claim? The guy doesn't turn it into an insurance claim because he doesn't want an insurance because now his insurance is going to go up. So what does he do? He charges me for the repairs. He charges me for the repairs.
That's insane.
And then,
all right, so let's cut to the chase here.
Okay.
Let's cut to the chase. Believe me, I've been through this. I have very personal experience. At one time, I had 11 trucks and was literally weeks away from filing bankruptcy. I was in such bad shape. I was in horrible amounts of debt, owed all kinds of back taxes, and I had to make some really hard decisions back there. So I've been through this. Let me ask you a question. Do you still drive one of these trucks?
Yes, I'm in one of them. I'm based out of California, but I'm sitting in Georgia right now, just delivered my load.
Okay, so on that truck that you currently drive, the one you have complete control over, could you tell me right now the gross revenue for all miles, the net revenue for all miles, and your expenses per mile?
No.
There's your biggest problem right there. Now, I will tell you what I did when I had 11 trucks and I identified that as my problem. I didn't know where my money was going. I had no idea. I was paying the bills most of the time, but, you know, I was juggling and borrowing and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and I had no idea where my money was going. I sold 9 of my 11 trucks, went back to 2, and really, really focused on making those 2 trucks very profitable. Now, I was driving one of them, and when I had 11, I wasn't driving. I was brokering a lot of freight, doing some other things, and I had to give that all up. I got rid of 9 trucks, went back to 2, started driving one myself, and was always on top of that second truck and driver, and that's when I actually developed my software program. I mean, I sat down and wrote spreadsheets and got very involved in the numbers and figured out how to make one truck really profitable and then applied all those same lessons to the second truck with the driver and then eventually, you know, saved enough money to buy another truck. And I grew the business back. Now, I'm not saying you have to sell any of these trucks. It's something you might
consider. Yeah, I'm upside down, so it wouldn't make no sense. You know, I'm upside down.
Maybe
stuff,
not.
So
what you've got to do is you have got to get very, very serious about your numbers. I will promise you nothing is going to fix this if you and here's what you should know. I mean, if you would have woken me up at 4 o'clock in the morning on any night and said, what is your gross revenue per mile? I could have right off the top of my head, what's your net revenue per mile? I knew it. What was your fuel cost per mile, maintenance cost? I knew all those numbers on both trucks. I can still tell you what those numbers were in 2010, 2011, 2012. I knew my numbers inside and out, and that's the way you turn a business around. That is the single most important thing you've got to focus on. And the reason I stopped you from the story, it isn't to say that the story isn't valid. It is. But the more you tell the story and the more you focus on it, the longer it's going to take. You got to forget what's happened so far and move forward. And the way you do that is get those numbers. You've got to go back to January. You've got to put those numbers, all the revenue, all the expenses, into a system, whether it's a spreadsheet, our software, whatever you need to do. You've got to get a business report. If you had one right now, I could start pointing out the things you need to do to turn this business around. We could start making better decisions. But your first decision is you've got to decide whether or not you're going to do the work to get the numbers. Otherwise, nothing else is worth talking about.
And the other thing is how do I recover all the money that I'm out?
You may not. But again, that let's get your numbers together first because it's more important. You might go spend a month chasing this money and never get it, and that's another month you've lost.
He ran the truck all the way up into the end of December.
I know. But that's why I don't want to go back there. We can't change that. You would spend all your time chasing something you have very little control over. You could take him to court. You could win a judgment, and you still would never get paid. Because the court can't force the money out of them. They can give you a judgment, but then you still don't have the money and you've lost all that time. What I want you to focus on first is getting your business healthy. And you have to have the numbers to do that. And so, you know, call us, find an accountant who can work with. I don't care how you do it. Do it yourself if you know how. We can certainly help you, but you've got to get those numbers. Once we get the numbers and we build a plan, part of that plan might be to go back and try to collect that money. But I don't want you to focus on that first, because you will lose more time and you could end up out of business before you get anywhere else. I'm going to go to another call real quick. I'm going to go to Georgia. Melissa, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin.
What can I help you with?
Can you hear me? I was hoping you could help me out with a little advice. I have a family member that was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. She started the ketogenic diet.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. She started the ketogenic diet, but she's doing research on alternative treatment. I was wondering if you had any resources in regards to alternative treatment.
Yeah, I actually do. I did some research on this, and probably one of the most successful alternative cancer treatments. There's been a bunch of them. Some of them are just total quackery. Some of them help. But the one that's probably been the most successful and really does have a lot to do with diet, which is something I believe pretty strong in, is called Gerson Therapy, and it's G-E-R-S-O-N. And if you look up Gerson Therapy online, you'll find a ton of resources. You'll find clinics. You'll find, you know, some ideas about what the diet is. But it's been around a very long time. It's very successful. Like I say, probably the most successful alternative cancer treatment I've seen. So check that out. We're out of time, but if you want, after you look at it, you could give me a call back and we could talk about it more. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you back here next time. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rothenberg. All right, everybody, sorry for the mix-up today, but I think it was a great show. We had good questions. We got to everybody, and we're going to wrap it up. Now, I will tell you, we'll be back tomorrow recording, same time. We'll try to get our text message out right tomorrow. And Wednesday we'll be recording, and on Wednesday we'll also be doing Destination Health right after we record Trucking Business and Beyond. So that'll give you an idea of what we're doing the rest of the week, and we'll send out the text message. Thanks.